U.S. Joint Chiefs Chairman Joseph Dunford says the United States is working on a coalition to counter Iran. On Tuesday, he described an international maritime security force to check Tehran in waters off both Iran and Yemen. It comes after Iran shot down a U.S. drone. The country is also suspected of attacking tankers in the Persian Gulf.
The British pound is sinking towards a low last hit 2 years ago. The fears of a no-deal Brexit and a shrinking economy plague investors. Sterling was trading down 0.5% against the dollar at $1.24 on Tuesday. BlackRock, the world's biggest asset manager, warned that markets were underestimating the risk of volatility from Britain's EU departure.
A milestone for Africa with the launch of a continental free trade zone. Leaders from across the continent met on Sunday to introduce the free trade bloc, the largest since the creation of the World Trade Organization in 1994. If successful, the African Continental Free Trade Area will unite 1.3 billion people and create a $3.4 trillion economic bloc, ushering in a new era of development by boosting intra-regional trade, strengthening supply chains, and spreading expertise.
WGN Radio's Daily Conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Wednesday. It's July 10th, and it's 5:10 in the morning. Thank you for tuning in for another edition of The Opening Bell, another business day getting underway. We appreciate you stopping by to get the latest intel on business and markets. We'll keep you posted on both of those as we move through the hour this morning. On the program a little bit later on, Howard Tolman will be here. He's the executive director of the Kaplan Institute over at the Illinois Institute of Technology. Why entrepreneurs and politicians, too, should embrace complexity. Howard's going to talk to us a little bit about why fast and simple is not always good for business and not always the smart decision to make. That'll be at about 5:38 this morning. We'll also keep you posted on news, weather, traffic, and sports as we move through the hour as well. Let's begin, though, on the WGN Associated Bank Market as the opening bell rings this morning after stocks closed mixed on Wall Street amid news from 3M and the Federal Reserve. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones Industrials fell 23 points. The NASDAQ gained 43 points. The S&P 500 slid into positive territory, gaining 4 points at the close. This morning, as we look at the futures market, it looks like we could see some more losses as the opening bell rings later. Dow futures are off 71 points, nearly a quarter of a percent. S&P and NASDAQ futures are off nearly a third this morning. Around the globe, in Europe, markets in London, Germany, and France are lower. In Germany, off by nearly a half a percent. In London, off by about a quarter of a percent. In Asia, markets mixed overnight and into the early morning. Nikkei in Japan is just a little bit higher. In Hong Kong, markets are higher, up by nearly a third. And in China, off nearly a half a percent. And oil is trading at $58.99 a barrel, which is up about $1.11. A couple of stories as we begin this morning. That oil prices story is one that we'll be watching very closely. Oil prices up sharply after word that U.S. inventories fell more than expected last week. West Texas Intermediate crude up 81 cents a barrel. International benchmark crude up 61 cents. Crude inventories in the country fell by 8.1 million barrels last week. Analysts expected a drop of nearly 3.1 million. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell begins 2 days of testimony before Congress today. Investors will be listening in very carefully to see what he says about monetary policy and potential interest rate hikes or cuts coming in the rest of the year. Job openings across the nation falling due to declines in the construction and transportation industries. The Labor Department reports that job openings fell 49,000 in May to a seasonally adjusted 7.3 million job openings. Hiring is down 266,000 to 5.7 million last month, with the largest decrease in the professional and business services industry. That according to JOLTS, the Job Opening and Labor Turnover Survey. The last ever Volkswagen Beetle rolls off the assembly line in Mexico today. The iconic Beetle is retiring after more than 70 years of production with a ceremony at a factory marking the moment. The facility will be retooled to create a new SUV for the North American market. The last Beetle that rolls off the line will be on display at a Volkswagen museum in Puebla, Mexico. America is losing news jobs. A Pew Research Center survey released yesterday shows jobs in the nation's newsrooms fell by 25% from 2008 to 2018. Newspapers, radio, TV, cable, and other news media employed about 114,000 people in 2008. By last year, the number was down to just 86,000. Newspapers saw the biggest drop, falling almost by half. 71,000 people worked for papers in 2008, only 38,000 last year, a 47% decline. Raleigh-based Red Hat is now part of IBM, one of the world's biggest technology deals done. The software maker and IBM announced yesterday they've closed the deal worth $34 billion. Red Hat will become part of IBM's cloud division, and Red Hat CEO Jim Whitehurst joins IBM's senior management team. The companies have insisted that Red Hat will continue to largely be independent under terms of the deal. And President Trump is throwing his Twitter support behind the co-founder of Home Depot. Some on social media have called for a boycott of the home improvement chain because former chairman Bernie Marcus, aged 90, is a Trump supporter. Trump took to Twitter last night to call Marcus a patriot and a charitable man who's coming under attack by radical left Democrats. He called on his supporters to fight for Marcus and Home Depot and the boycott in the face of boycott. Trump called vicious and totally crazed Democratic calls for the boycott silly. Home Depot put out a statement noting that Marcus retired 15 years ago. The company does not endorse presidential candidates. Fast and simple are bad for smart decision-making and bad for building your business. At least that's what our next guest says. Howard Tolman is executive director of the Ed Kaplan Family Institute for Innovation and Tech Entrepreneurship at Illinois Institute of Technology. Howard, good morning. Welcome.
Hey, how you doing, Steve?
Very well, thank you. I want to begin with the latest post from you on your blog and in Inc., talking about why maybe we should be considering more complex solutions to our problems in business and maybe even in politics. What are you getting at here?
You know, it's actually mathematical. It turns out that if you only consider two choices, your odds of being right are about 50%. But what we don't do is we don't make our job a little tougher by looking at more alternatives, especially sometimes looking outside of the box. And when you do that, you improve your odds, and you're going to get it right about two out of three times. And it's just that simple. I mean, we usually want to make it easy on ourselves, and especially if we're presenting to other people like a boss, we're like, hey, it's either or. But today with information, with technology, with all the choices we have, it really makes more sense to look a little further. And in terms of what's going on, especially in technology, what we're seeing is new solutions come up. They come up in one industry, and then 2 minutes later, you turn around, and all of a sudden, it's happening in your space or to your business. And so you have to be looking not just in your own business, but also outside of your business at what's going on in other areas.
Yeah, and I think if you're an entrepreneur, there would be the worry that if you didn't hurry up to market with whatever it was that you were putting forward, that you might miss out. That's a common belief among people, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, there was a lot of literature. There was a book called The Lean Startup, and it was like, geez, the second you get something done, let's throw it out there and see if the dogs will eat the dog food. The problem is the head and shoulders rule, which is, you know, in the world today, because people have so many choices, they basically, you know, would tell you that you don't really get a second chance to make a first impression. So if your product isn't there, if it isn't really ready to go, then people just throw it away, and then you don't really get the chance to roll out. So it's great to be fast, but you need to be on the right road, and you need to be responding to a real customer problem or something that you can help folks with. If you don't hit that right, then nothing else really matters.
Yeah, and what are the implications, too, if you come out and you have something that you've sped to market or you've gotten fast at getting it out there, and all of a sudden it's wrong? There's the initial problem of having people not check it out, but then there's the potential hit to your reputation as well.
Yeah, you don't want your end users to be your last beta testers. You know, sometimes we say that a product didn't get released, it escaped. You know, I mean, people got sick of waiting and they put it out there, and then it's shame on you if you can't figure it out. But the truth is that consumers aren't like that. They want it simple, they want it easy, and they want it quick. But you have to be delivering a real solution. You have to add some value.
Well, how do you get people to pull back on the reins a little bit and slow down? I'm guessing that has to happen pretty early on in the planning process, and you may have to change some people's core beliefs, right?
Yeah, I think what you do is you suggest to them that they look, you know, next door. They look at what's happening. For example, a lot of the changes that are going to happen in the medical industry are going to start in retail. They're going to start in how do you deal with large volumes of people who are in a hurry and how do you provide them solutions. I mean, one example I always get is, why would you wait for a month to get an appointment with your personal doctor to get a flu shot, which will be given to you by a nurse anyway, instead of going into a CVS or Walgreens and getting a shot in 5 minutes at your convenience, you know, generally for free? And once you experience, you know, that kind of ease, you start to say, well, if they can do it, why can't everybody else in my life do it? Why can't everybody be fast and responsive? And so you have to look around, because you're competing not just with the people that are in your industry, you're competing with my last best experience, whatever it was, wherever it came from. I mean, and of course, Amazon is completely setting the curve here, because if I can get anything I want in a few hours, you know, people just aren't going to wait. They're just not going to wait for really anything.
Yeah, and it's surprising that we haven't got Amazon flu shots yet, but I bet you that's coming.
Well, they're certainly moving into medical. You know, they bought a company called PillPack, and as soon as they did, it just creamed the stock of all the other basically pharmaceutical players. I mean, they lost billions of dollars. It's called the Amazon effect. You know, as soon as Jeff sneezes in the area of some industry, that industry's stock goes in the toilet.
Howard, I know you're talking, we've been talking about business here, but I know this. You want this to apply to politicians as well. It may not be that much easier for politicians, because for constituents, they want the problems fixed now. They want it done quickly. But how do we take our time and deal with some of these complex issues in politics?
Well, you know, it's funny, because I think just this weekend we saw the first indication that our new mayor has, you know, it's dawned on her that it's not so simple to say, let's stop the violence in the city and let's stop putting people in jail. I mean, she did a 180. She's already saying half the people this weekend who were, you know, arrested for gun violence are already out on the street. And it's, you know, she's figured out that that's not a good thing. So I was amazed at how quickly she woke up to the fact that it's not black and white. It's not simple. But especially with respect to getting guns off the street and then keeping the repeat, you know, the repeat offenders in jail, lo and behold, she's come over to the good side. Yeah. On that point in particular. I think the same thing is happening with JB as governor. I think, you know, he was talking about you know, DFS and, you know, all of these, you know, the child care issues. And he said, look, you can't solve it, you know, because I'm governor this week. You have to solve these problems long term, or else you're not going to get anything that sticks.
I was struck after the first of the Democratic debates with 10 people on the stage at once with 30 seconds to answer questions. The simplistic theme of that debate sort of goes to what you're talking about here. How do you address some major problems in 30 seconds?
Well, every one of those people was coached, and they were told, you know, something you learned from old-time debate, which is you never answer the question you were asked. You give the answer that you want to get across. Every one of those people had three or four cute little lines. I mean, certainly, you know, the Harris, you know, sandbagging of Biden was planned. I mean, 2 seconds after she said her comment about, I was that little girl on the bus, you know, they already had buttons, you know, out for sale on the internet. So, you know, you lay in wait, you have these stupid, pithy comments that you hope will be a soundbite, and that's all you can expect. But it's sort of shame on the Democratic Party. I mean, they don't have the guts to say to half of these people, you're a joke, and, you know, get off the stage so we can have some real conversation. And maybe that format will never answer that problem. And maybe you don't get to tell anybody a joke because look who's our president.
Yeah, and hopefully that will change, because I've talked to so many people who wanted more meat, going forward from the candidates. There are people from both parties listening very closely to what they have to say. So maybe that'll happen sooner than later. Probably not in the next debate, but soon.
I hope so, but I don't have a lot of confidence, because the other things that the politicians have figured out is that everybody does want these simple solutions, and nobody wants to be told it's complicated or it's difficult. They want, you know, and remember what's happening too. In the primaries, the only people that really vote are the extremists, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean they're the people that are on the margins who are fanatical about a given candidate or a given issue. You know, as we move toward the general, everybody moves toward the middle. And, you know, you'll be amazed at how few differentiations there really are between the positions of the last couple of runners. And that's how it always works. But what they say in the first instance is they'll say anything to attract their little base, because they need to get the votes for the primary from the people that actually show up and vote.
I wanted to say thank you for hosting us, all of us at WGN, earlier this week. We went and visited with Howard out at the IIT, out at the Kaplan Institute. We had a nice discussion about how people's attention spans have fallen even further than they used to be. It kind of fits into our conversation this morning, Howard, about, you know, you got to keep it simple, because people are not going to listen for very long.
Well, I think, you know, it's very interesting, because when you compare, you look at TV advertising, and when you're building a 30-second ad for TV, you want the payoff to be in the last 5 seconds so somebody remembers something. When you're in the digital world and when you're on the web, if you don't catch me in the first 5 seconds, nothing else matters. And so that's a comment on the way we spend our time these days. It's totally driven by a lack of real patience and this shortfall in terms of our attention span. So I think that's exactly right. Everything is about an instant hit. And if you don't capture me quickly, then I'm going somewhere else.
Yeah. And so how do we do that, I guess, is the best question. If we're, you know, trying to put programs on the air and on this program talk about business and all kinds of other topics, how do we hook people? What's the secret sauce?
You know, I think you have to show me that it makes sense for me personally to invest the time in what you're offering. So if you're an entrepreneur, you know, you make your show a must listen, because I'm going to learn something. It's going to make me more productive. It's going to make me able to make smarter decisions. It's going to save me time or money. I mean, this is what's going on now. It's all transactional. I don't go anywhere where I don't think that it's going to be of value to me. And that's how people are going to perform, because they're drowning in content. They're drowning in the noise, and they have to focus on a few things that are important. And each person will decide what's important for them.
The Kaplan Institute's a really nice, beautiful facility. How are you liking it there after 1871?
Well, you know, it's a different place. I mean, I was the president of Kendall College, and we moved that from Evanston downtown. I then started Tribeca Flashpoint, which was a digital media school. This is another sort of return to education. And, you know, if we don't fix education and we don't fix healthcare, nothing else really matters in this country. I mean, it's going to be just a terrible place. And so the focus of Kaplan is to deal with the fact that the tech community is desperate for diverse technical talent. And at Kaplan and at IIT, about 40% of the students are African-American or Hispanic, and they're trained to be technologists. And, you know, my job is really to connect those kids as great employees with the workforce, with the industry and the businesses in the city, which are constantly whining that they can't find the right talent, but they don't do much about it.
Well, Howard, we appreciate you being on with us this morning. Again, thank you for hosting us earlier this week. Come back and visit with us.
We'll talk soon. Thank you.
Howard Tolman, the executive director out at the Kaplan Institute at IIT. You can follow Howard on Twitter at Tolman and Kaplan Institute at Kaplan Institute. And also head over to their website as well, to learn more about IIT and the Institute for Innovation and Tech Entrepreneurship.
You're listening to the Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, we're watching futures point to a weak open on Wall Street a little bit later this morning. Dow futures are off 82 points, nearly a third. S&P and NASDAQ futures off nearly a third each as well. Generally a negative day in Asia and in Europe. Markets are lower as we head into the final stretch of trading there. In Germany, off by more than a half a percent this morning. Let's get the latest on agriculture and commodities. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. The crop condition reports on Monday weren't that much different, but they did play a role in the grain market yesterday, along with the weather outlook. And so at the end of the day, only soybeans were higher. The July contract up 6 cents, but the July corn market was down 6 1/4, and July wheat traded down 6 3/4 cents. Different story in livestock futures at the Merck yesterday. August and October lean hog contracts up the $3 daily limit, and the October live cattle contract up $2. The feeder cattle contract for October up $4.50. The news yesterday making the circle in farming communities: Willie Nelson, John Mellencamp, Neil Young, and the Dave Matthews Band will headline Farm Aid 2019 when the Music and Food Festival visits Wisconsin struggling dairy country in September. Tickets will go on sale this Friday, July 12, at 10 a.m. Central Daylight Time. The price range on the tickets, $54.50 to a top of $249.50. It will be staged at the Alpine Valley Music Theater in East Troy, Wisconsin, about 30 miles southwest of Milwaukee, located northwest of Chicago. That's your money. I'm Orion Samuelson. Have a great day.
Thanks, Orion. You too. A couple of more business stories before we leave you this morning. We are learning that top U.S. trade officials spoke with their Chinese counterparts yesterday as potential trade talks get underway. CNBC is reporting that the trade representative, U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer, and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin spoke to the Chinese Vice Premier and Commerce Minister yesterday to set more talks up, to continue, in their words, negotiations aimed at resolving the outstanding trade dispute. No word on when more talks might take place. Yesterday's talks took place via telephone. Also, a report from Deloitte suggests the upcoming back-to-school shopping season may not be such a big boost to retailers, the kind of boost that they're hoping for. The survey says spending during the second busiest shopping period of the year will be about flat compared to year-ago levels. Consumer shopping for back-to-school clothing, school supplies, and electronics for children in ages and grades K through 12 expected to be about $27.8 billion this year. That's up nearly 2% from 2018, but not as much as was expected early on in the year. Now, the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk outlook for this Wednesday, July the 10th. We'll see the Fed minutes today, learn more about monetary policy from the Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell, who begins 2 days of testimony before Congress today. Powell will speak first to the House Financial Services Committee beginning at about 9 o'clock Chicago time. Also today, wholesale inventories for May are due to be released. Analysts are forecasting a 0.4% increase over April. And on the earnings calendar, one of the big companies reporting quarterly earnings today, Bed Bath & Beyond. Just some of the things that could move the markets on this Wednesday, July the 10th.